Good morning. Good morning. The notices for the week, coming week are as follows. Tomorrow until Wednesday is the Weather Reform Union Conference at Swanwick in Derbyshire. And we're being represented by Dave. So can you hold Dave in your prayers this week for Monday to Wednesday? On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be a service, DIY service, as Helen called it. So it's a service where we'll have an opportunity to encourage one another in our walk with Jesus. So please see Helen if you wish to take part. I'm sure if you don't see her, she'll see you. Following the service, there will be a short video on how to use the defibrillator. So if you didn't know, we have one in the church. So if you would like to know how to use it, there will be a video in here after the service. So stay in church if you want to watch it. Or if you don't want to watch it, go and have your tea and coffee and biscuits. There are all the notices for this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome Tony with us this morning. Awena's not very well. I suppose Tony will say a bit more about Awena later on. But we welcome you, Tony. Thank you.
Well, this is strange. She does miss being here and meeting with you all again. She had a fall in the garden, fell into the rockery, damaged herself, torn ligaments in the shoulder, cracked rib, and a foot as well. So all down one side, basically, in a lot of pain, managed by the maximum dose of paracetamol during the day, and sleeping a lot of the day. Hi there. So thank you for your understanding that I'm not used to this. So we'll just pray first, shall we? Spirit of the living God, draw us close and shape us into the likeness of Jesus. May this time together be true fellowship together with you. May our praise and worship be acceptable and pleasing to you. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The first song, all these songs Awena has previously chosen, so she had in mind what she wanted to say about them. So bear with me. But I thought, the song is As We Are Gathered, Jesus is Here. And it occurred to me that very often we can slip into this way of coming to church because we've always done it. We're always there, and we have fellowship and tea and biscuits, and it's great. We need to remind ourselves when we come that this is where we meet with Jesus. The song says, as we are gathered, Jesus is here. I'm going to suggest we sing this, remain seated, and see if we can sense something of the awesomeness as we realize that we are gathered together, meeting with Jesus. Thanks, Dave.
As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Thank you.
for Tony's bit instead of Awena's bit. Okay. I don't know whether you realise that 3 years ago on Father's Day, your preacher was yours truly again. We're getting these repeats the longer I come here. I'm not bringing the same sermon again. But just before we move into the sung worship in a while, it was a bit awkward. I had a prompt from God that included a mention of my son Wes, who's here sitting in Awena's place there. And then he decided he wanted to come with me. So I've had to ask permission if I can tell you this account, okay? Father's Day. Many, many years ago, we have a sort of room in the loft, and at that stage, Wes was very young and lived in the loft. He had a bed up there. And one day, Father's Day, he came down the steps of the loft, shoved something in my hand and said, "I'm supposed to give you this." Which obviously a Awena had bought and given to him to give to me. I've always remembered that. I wasn't holding it against you all those years, Wes, honest. But especially as more recently, a year or so back now, I guess, I got this homemade card that blessed me. "Happy Father's Day. I am blessed to have you as my dad." What a difference, eh? And what I wanted to move on from that is to say, many of us have been walking with the Lord for many years. And what should be happening is, as the years go on, we gain a greater appreciation of who God is and how much he loves us, what he does in our lives, how he blesses us so much. And so I'm going to focus on the Heavenly Father today in the message. We're going to sing these three songs now. Now, I'll tell you the little story from Awena about this first song. She chose on a previous occasion we were coming here, and Dave said, "We don't know that. Pick another one." Awena forgot all about that and chose it again. Dave said, "We don't know that." But he's looked at it and he thinks you will be able to sing it. Last time he came, there was a song that was new to you on Easter Day, and you did that very well. So we have an accomplished choir, and Dave's going to explain what he's going to do.
Yeah, we haven't done this before, as Tony has said. So what we do, the first four slides that you'll see have the word practice at the top. So you listen to what I'm playing, and hopefully I'll play the right notes, and you match the notes to the words, and you go through, and going through those four slides, you'll be introduced to each of the sections of the song. When it gets to the fifth slide, all stand, and we'll try and sing it together. Okay.
Thank you.
Are you sure you didn't know it? That sounded great, thank you. We're declaring the praises of our God. Our next song talks about what we believe. In the world today, there's so much happening, and with the media, you begin to think, I'm not sure that's true. You know, we've been fed lies, uncertainties, and we as believers need to know the truth, what we believe. In the armour of God, it's the helmet of truth, isn't it? And we need to be able to declare, look, I don't know the answer to all that's happening in the world today, but this I know. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. All these truths we need to get deep into our hearts as we declare them in the world today. I believe in Jesus. Thanks, Abe. To tell you that just before the service he dropped his keys in the piano, and that's why you've had a change of key occasionally. Our final song in this stage is Blessed Be Your Name in the Land That Is Plentiful, and it talks about blessing the Lord whatever we're experiencing in life. In the good times, yes, but in the bad times, yes, we need to praise God when things aren't going so well, because he hasn't changed. He is still worthy of praise. So let's sing, Blessed Be Your Name in the Land That Is Plentiful. blessed be your name. We've offered our praise and our worship to our Lord this morning. Let us now bring our gifts and offerings to him, shall we?
So that they can be used powerfully in the work of the kingdom. To your name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here's a test, here's a conundrum for you. Normally, at this point, the sermon, the person leading prays for the person who's preaching. I'm going to ask, is there someone out there who would like to pray for the preacher this morning? There's a test for you. Well, bless you, brother.
Don't want hands on, do you?
Sorry?
You don't want hands on, do you?
No, no, okay.
Father, we just thank you for Tony right now, Lord. We thank you for blessing us with him, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you impart what you want to say through him, Father. Mm-hmm. Father, we just thank you for him right now, Lord. Although he's got problems of his own with his wife, Father, and we just ask that you bless him and touch him and keep him, Lord. Just fill him, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit flow through his veins, Lord. Just touch him right now, Lord, as he imparts your word to us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, as I said previously, it was 3 years ago I was here preaching on Father's Day, and I'm not bringing the same message. A guy called Chuck Colson runs a prison ministry in America. And every Mother's Day and every Father's Day, this ministry gives cards to the prisoners to send to their mothers and their fathers. And they always give out far more cards on Mother's Day than they do for Father's Day. I suppose that's not really a surprise to us. In one large prison in California, they gave out over 1,000 Mother's Day cards for the prisoners to send to their mothers. And at the same prison, only 6 inmates asked for cards to send to their fathers for Father's Day. Billy Graham once said, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." There's always a danger with a topic like this of giving a message to fathers on this day which tells the fathers how God wants them to be good fathers. And all the wives and the children will be saying, though probably not out loud, "Amen, preach it, Tony." That's the spiritual equivalent of "you tell him, Tony." So my approach this morning isn't along those lines. Is rather to focus on our Heavenly Father and try to discover the things that fathers and mothers, aunts, uncles, children, everyone can learn and try to emulate in our own relationships. But I will start with one instruction from the Apostle Paul, which is addressed to fathers. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Yes, we're perhaps more familiar with the experience that children exasperate their parents. Yeah. There's a teaching course that Owen and I have looked at in the past, some years ago, but it became relevant as I was preparing. And it's about the ways we can bless the lives of others, whether that's a close relationship in the family, husband, wife, father, mother, children, and so on. The ways in which we can bless the lives of others based on the ways in which God seeks to bless you and me. And the blessing in this course is broken down into these sections: meaningful touch, spoken words, expressing high value, picturing a special future, having an active commitment. And so we will look at how God uses these ways to bless us as a Heavenly Father to his children. And hopefully we can take what we learn and apply as fathers to their children, but also all of us in all relationships. So the first of those is meaningful touch. Now, you've seen how a baby is cuddled and caressed, and it's important for that baby to know that he or she is well loved. Even before they can understand language, it conveys the love of the parent to the child. And if we look at the life of Jesus during that time of ministry for 3 years, he demonstrated the importance of touch. His healings were mostly accompanied by touch. Sometimes the other way around, the woman touched him. But then, I think I mentioned this last time, when the woman touched him and he said, "Who touched me?" And she admitted, and he knelt down and he put his hands each side of her head and said, "Daughter." It was a meaningful touch. And the blind man who came to him, he touched his eyes. And I was glad when our brother came to pray for me. Yes, the touch. It's a meaningful touch, and it blesses us. In the Old Testament, we see it in the story of Elijah when he was depressed and suicidal. And it says, all at once, an angel touched him. Now, I've got a sermon on that I have preached for many, many years in many, many places, because it really blessed me. And we can employ touch in our dealings with one another when appropriate. There's an old song. I'm forever quoting old songs in my sermons. And sooner or later, we'll reach a stage where no one remembers them but me. It was this: "Throw me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot." And it's little things like the hand on the shoulder that my brother did then, or squeezing a hand, especially when you're just shaking it, but give it an extra squeeze. And depending on how well you know someone, a hug. Yeah, when we came in, I was greeted by one handshake and one hug. And it blessed me. Now, my son has never been here before. He only got the handshakes. Little things mean a lot. That's meaningful touch. Secondly, spoken words. Speaking words of appreciation and of love. And God does it for us in Scripture. We read it there. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. An everlasting love is one that goes way into the future and way back into your past. All the time he was there loving you. God so loved that he sent. It's an active love. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that this love is lavished upon us. That's one of Owen's favourite words in the New Testament, lavished. That's how God loves us. Next is expressing high value. In Zechariah 2 verse 8 it says, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. That's how special you are to God. And of course, the cross speaks of the high value that God places upon us. And we can do this. We can express our appreciation to our children and to one another. Next, picturing a special future. And in the Old Testament, God did this for Abraham and the other Old Testament patriarchs. You remember he said to Abraham, all those promises, you will have a whole nation following you, as many as the stars in the sky, he says. That was picturing a special future for Abraham, and there was many others in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus does it for us. You will be my witnesses. That's what he says to his apostles before he left this earth. That's what he was picturing for them. I'm going to prepare a place for you, picturing a special future. There's a crown of glory awaiting me. Picture of the future when we will be crowned. A special future. And we can do this, parents to children particularly. In America, it's often said, American parents often say, one day you could be the President of the United States. I wonder if Mr. and Mrs. Trump said that. Okay. Picturing a special future can plant a seed of hope in a child, but we need to be careful that it encourages them. It doesn't place a heavy burden on them, because sometimes it creates a striving for perfectionism that's destructive. And finally, an active commitment. I said earlier that the scripture said God so loved the world that he gave action. He loved and he did something about it. And the love that he wants us to experience is one that's seen in action, an active commitment. He's actively committed to us, shown initially at Calvary, now shown by his continuing presence, continuing forgiveness, continuing peace and power, comfort, love. Someone has said that God is irrationally positive about us. And the examples of Abraham, David, Jonah, Moses, Peter, me, you, all have failed, but he sticks with us. And I know you can do it, he says. All have failed. There's a song by the Gaither vocal band, and I have it. I preach using folders like this, and I've got three, and one of them's got on these words from one of their songs. Greatly blessed, highly favoured, imperfect, but forgiven. And that's God's love for us. And he often makes us aware of some action he wants us to take. Sometimes what I call the Holy Spirit nudges, when he says, have a word with that person there, they don't look too happy at the moment. Or being led by the Spirit to engage in some sort of missionary work, whatever it is. God has a special future and he's committed to it. I would add, every child needs someone who loves them extravagantly. Real love disciplines rather than spoils. So we need to get a balance. Because I'm worth it, says the TV ad. We may not feel worthy of God's love, and of course we're not. But God's extravagant, irrational love for us led him to send his only son to die for us. Why? Because he thought we were worth it. His love is one that sees us as infinitely precious. That's one of the definitions of the agape or agape love that's used in the New Testament. It's a Greek word that you will find rarely elsewhere. It's special. And one definition says it's the kind of love that sees the object of that love as infinitely precious. And that's how God loves you. His love is one which, as the old chorus goes, too high to get over, too low to get under, too wide to get around. Paul knew this and he wanted to convey that thought to those that he ministered to. And in Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19, he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's another children's song. You can't stop the rain from falling down, and you can't stop God from loving you. So, as we draw to a close, summarizing, meaningful touch, spoken words, expressing high value, picturing a special future, and an active commitment. These are ways that God, in his mercy and grace, show us how much he loves us. So let us be like him and love others. Our children, our family, our friends, our fellow believers, and everyone else in these ways. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now as I hand back to Oweda. Oh. No, right. I'm not sure what she had in mind when she included the time of intercession. And I know that she said on occasion that you know the prayers that are needed in this fellowship. We don't. So what I'm going to do, I'm going for the bigger picture. I'm going to pray for the world. And when I've prayed for the world, if there's any need within this fellowship and someone wants to pray out loud for it, we'll leave a space for that. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to pray for this world in which we live, a world in a state that must make you very sad. And we can hardly have time to mention all the nations where there is war, turmoil, unrest, all the areas where your people are persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, killed. But we know that there are men who have their own agendas who are leading these nations. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would convict those leaders of the need for peace within this world, of a need not to always seek only our own way, but to think of others. and we pray for them. And we pray for the leaders of our own country too, especially with the turmoil of the political situation currently. We pray that those who have strong views would be wise and gracious in expressing them. We pray that those who feel under pressure might know the best way to respond. And we pray that you, Lord, will have your way, that you would demonstrate that you are sovereign God. And we ask all those things in the name of Jesus. As we now turn our thoughts to this local fellowship, and we, in our minds, in our hearts, or spoken out loud, remember those in need. To those prayers spoken and to the prayers that were unspoken, we say Amen. 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 Thank you. And we pray. May the blessings of God be poured out upon you. May his love be expressed to you in the ways that he sees you need this coming week. And may you know his peace. Amen. Amen.